Oh, Mystery Train. One of the greatest rock and roll songs ever recorded. And that guitar that you hear was played by Scotty Moore. Scotty Moore passed away on Tuesday. He was 84 years old. He died in his home outside of Nashville. He virtually created sort of the rock and rockabilly guitar style. Best known for playing on some of Elvis's most popular and best records. He was playing with a country band when Sam Phillips asked him to audition this young singer named Elvis, and then the rest is history. We're going to talk about Scotty Moore. We're going to be playing some Scotty Moore music and other cool stuff. But when I heard that Scotty Moore passed away, I immediately wanted to ask my two favorite people to join me to talk about Scotty Moore. Because of their experiences with him and their knowledge of his music and his contribution to music. And it's always an honor and a pleasure to welcome Steve King and Johnny Putman back to the show. And Steve and Johnny, hi, guys.
Hi, dear.
Hey.
So, I, you know, it's weird that and I always love talking to you guys.
I know.
But every time I talk to you guys,
this way,
somebody dies.
Yeah.
So, this is, you know, this is a big one. I don't think that the people who might not realize just how important a guy this was in the history of rock and roll, you guys would agree with that, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, yeah.
You know, I was thinking earlier about Scotty Moore's influence. And I think the best way you can describe Scotty Moore's influence is to go back, well, let's say, a week. And I say go back a week because, of course, as of today, people will be playing Scotty Moore music and things like that. But a week ago, I guarantee you, in every continent, some guitar player somewhere was either playing or trying to learn how to play a Scotty Moore lick.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and it was back in 1954 when he and Elvis got together. And in fact, I was just reading this afternoon that it was July 5th, so next week would have marked the anniversary of when they first got together.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously changed Elvis's life forever. And a lot of people think that there wouldn't have been an Elvis if it hadn't been a Scotty with him.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's interesting. I was doing a little reading about him because, you know, there's like after some, you know, a legend dies, the obits come flying fast and furious.
Yeah.
And you read all about him. But I was not aware of Doug Poindexter and the Starlight Wranglers.
Yes, that was the group that Scotty was with just before he met Elvis.
Right. And so he was with them, and he was recording. I guess they recorded. They also recorded on Sun, which is why Sam Phillips asked them to audition Elvis. And it's amazing. Now you're talking about the influence that Scotty Moore had. The people that have been quoted as being influenced by him include Keith Richards, who said,
"Oh yeah,
quote unquote, all I wanted to do in the world was to be able to play and sound like him."
And I absolutely can identify with that. As a young kid, I didn't want to be Elvis. I wanted to be Scotty Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jimmy Page said tonight, you know, he said, I can't believe this. I love the man, just as Keith Richards has said over and over again. And he said, I would not have ever played. There would not be a Stairway to Heaven if it hadn't been for Scotty Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is absolutely impossible to overstate Scotty Moore's influence on contemporary music.
And we have to remember, too, Nick, that some of the things that he was doing, no one had ever done before. It hadn't
right.
been heard before, those sounds.
Right.
And yet, meeting this man, knowing this man, if you sat down to have a beer with him, have a cup of coffee with him, he was the most humble, kind of quiet, had a quirky sense of humor, kind of a, you had to listen and go, I think he's kidding me. I think this is funny. Oh, yeah, this is funny kind of sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a dear friend of his tonight, Keith Bilbrey from WSM down in Nashville. And Keith said, no one in the world made a cup of coffee like Scotty. And to me, a great joy was to sit down across the table from him and have one of his cups of coffee and just let him talk. And he could really tell the stories.
Can you guys go back to the first time you ever interviewed or met Scotty?
Yeah.
Well, first time I ever interviewed Scotty was before I had really met Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
It was at WIND, and this was after Elvis had passed away. And I think you remember a Chicago performer named Rael Donner.
Yeah.
Rael was the voice of Elvis in the movie This Is Elvis. And there was an album that came out called I've Been Away for a While. This was shortly after Elvis passed away.
Right.
What they did, they got Rael Donner together with the Jordanaires and with Elvis's original musicians, and they recut all of those early cuts. Well, to promote that, it was arranged that I was able to interview Scotty, and I was about as nervous as I could.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, and it was late night because Scotty had a recording studio in Fernwood, Tennessee, which was his home. And he called up after he'd finished his session, and he was just, I mean, we were talking about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and Scotty was having a sip or two of something, and he got very loose, and I learned that he was not Colonel Parker's biggest fan.
Oh, boy. I bet. And at that time, right. I mean, and if this is, you know, if he's cutting loose on Colonel Parker in 1977, you know, that's something right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And he told me some incredible stories, like the first time that he ever got really, really scared. They were playing up in Canada, and it was a huge football stadium. And at one end of the stadium, they had the stage. At the other end of the stadium was this full football stadium full of people. They start playing, and all of a sudden they see what they think are ants. And then the ants get closer, and they realize, no, these are people, and they were rushing the stage, and they had to all scramble off the stage, and they wound up hiding in one of the washrooms down in the football stadium, and literally, they had to be passed out through one of the windows.
Wow.
Restrooms.
That's the stuff of movies, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? When you put it in a movie, somebody goes, well, it's a little hokey, but we'll go with it.
But, you know, there's got to be so many more stories that he had about that. I mean, could you imagine playing with Elvis at that time?
And playing at a time when they were, you know, strapping their instruments on top of the car and jamming them into the trunk of the car and sleeping while they're on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and just probably taking no-dos so they could get from point to point because they were working like fiends. And the whole time, and again, Scotty was so humble when we talked to him on WGN, you know, he was just like, well, yeah, I knew that this was something special. I knew that he was special. And I think that's one of the reasons he really disliked Colonel Parker so much, because he knew. I think he would have been a great manager for Elvis.
Oh, he was Elvis's first manager.
But if he had stayed with him as his manager, things would have been quite different for Elvis.
Wow. It's, you know, and there's a couple of things, Steve, that you wanted to point out guitar-wise, specifically. We can geek out a little bit on that, Steve, if you want.
Okay.
I'm not going to – I guess I'm going to have to twist your arm to geek out on guitar stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, Steve and Johnny are with us, the great Steve and Johnny. Scotty Moore passed away, the hard-driving guitarist who backed up Elvis, one of the most innovative and original guitarists, the guy who originated rockabilly for all intents and sake. And now you wanted to talk about a couple of clips here that involve Scotty Moore's solos.
Yeah, and which one have you got up?
We got Heartbreak Hotel is up first.
Oh,
okay. Well, just go to a little bit of Heartbreak Hotel, and then I'll tell you why that's important.
All right, here we go.
That was the song that Keith Richards first heard, and he said, as much as I loved Elvis, he said, when I heard that guitar break, that's what I wanted to do for a living.
Yeah.
And that was one of the key things about Scotty in the early days. As humble as he was, when you heard a Scotty Moore solo, it exploded out of the radio.
And the tone of his guitar too was different. You could recognize it. You knew that it was different than James Burton, that kid that was playing with
Rick Nelson
at the time. Yeah.
Well, and there was a reason for that too. In fact, there's an Illinois connection here. When Scotty and Elvis and Bill Black first started recording down in Memphis at 706 Union for Sam Phillips, their sound basically was created by Sam putting together what's called a slapback echo. That was that whole rockabilly sound.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, understanding that this was an important part of their presentation, he wanted to be able to recreate that sound and do it live. Well, there was only one guy who was making an amplifier that would do that. The guy's name was Ray Butts, and he lived in southern Illinois. He made an amplifier that was called the Echosonic Amplifier, and Scotty first heard about that from Chet Atkins. Scotty got in touch with Ray Butts, and he had one of the first amplifiers made that allowed you to create that slapback echo sound on stage. Because Scotty was a perfectionist. He was a mild man, but he was a perfectionist, and he wanted to make sure that the sound was what the sound was on the record.
Had an amazing ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And that was interesting, too, because as he writes in his book, his first book, That's All Right, Elvis, he writes quite openly about the relationship that he had with Elvis early on, and it really was a good working relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it really did hurt him that they fell away from each other. It's a great story, Nick. You remember the 68 comeback special?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And really quickly, it also contains my favorite Elvis song and favorite Elvis vocal performance is If I Can Dream.
Absolutely. Right there with you.
Yep.
Did he ever look any better than that?
No.
And you can watch it today and see how it stands up. But it's interesting, Scotty's there. He's there in the round on the show.
Yep.
And Steve likes to tell the story about the fact that Elvis has got Scotty's guitar. So Scotty...
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you don't get to hear a lot of Scotty playing lead guitar on that, because very early in the special, Elvis just decided he wanted to do this jam in the round thing and grab Scotty's guitar. But there is one version, if you can find a version of That's All Right, Mama from that special,
mm-hmm.
that's when Elvis was still playing the rhythm guitar and Scotty was playing the lead guitar. And it's just some incredible stuff.
Wow.
But the cool thing about Scotty was when he wrote about that, when he talked about that in interviews, he didn't moan about, well, Elvis took my guitar.
No.
He understood. This was working.
Yeah.
He got the bigger picture. So you set your ego aside, and this is Elvis, and Elvis wants to play guitar, and this is kind of cool, so I'll just sit over here. In fact, we were backstage. We were fortunate enough to be backstage with Scotty back in 2003 when we were at the Ryman Auditorium for Les Paul. And Scotty had come back to visit Les. And if I hadn't heard it with my own ears, I don't believe I couldn't believe it. Les said to Scotty, hey, man, we can get you a guitar. Why don't you come out and play? And Scotty took a deep breath and he said, oh, Les, I'm not a front man. I'm just a side man.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, just a side man. And if only if we had walked him out on stage and introduced him, the place would have gone wild.
We would have gone berserk with both those guys on stage. Jeez.
That was one of those pinch me moments because.
Well, no, you elevate.
I was levitating.
Yeah.
Not only was I there with Les and Scotty, but then during Les's performance, we were sitting in the audience shoulder to shoulder with Scotty. And his lady friend, Gail Pollack.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty would elbow it. Yeah, he'd elbow and say, look what he's doing. Look what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I thought, amazing. Oh, my gosh, this is so surreal.
That's amazing. Listen, before we take a break, I want to go to the second solo that we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from Hound Dog. And do you want to hear it first, then talk about it, Steve?
Well, just listen, as Scotty hits this. Now, this was before heavy metal music. This was before power chords. Listen to the way Scotty doesn't play a solo. Scotty explodes on this.
Okay.
Go ahead and hit it.
Here we go.
I mean, that was the first example of power chords used in any song. To this day, I can't figure out what the heck he did.
All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Okay.
Steve and Johnny are with us, and we are talking about the great Scotty Moore, the guitarist who backed Elvis Presley but did so much more and was one of the innovators of rock and roll. And so we're talking about that and more. Steve and Johnny are with us. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's Elvis, of course. Scotty Moore, his guitarist that you hear on that track too much, passed away on Tuesday at the age of 84. And remembering Scotty Moore and paying tribute to Scotty Moore, I'm honored to have back on the show the one and only Steve King and Johnny Putman. Hi, welcome back, guys.
And, well, again, the song you just played, again, Scotty explodes in that. And I guarantee there is not one guitar player listening right now that can duplicate the solo that Scotty did.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen.
Yeah.
You're speaking as a man who's tried for 65 years, right?
Yeah. I was also thinking about, you know, as much as Scotty was capable of exploding, Scotty had no ego. One of Elvis's absolute biggest selling records, Scotty only played two things in, and yet they are two of the most identifiable things in rock and roll. I'm talking about Don't Be Cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Don't Be Cruel was done in the key of D. I mention that because, for guitarists, Scotty tuned down a whole step to be able to do that opening, and have it get that real low twang sound.
Right.
That's all he did until the very end of the song, where he does one chord. And that's it.
That's it.
And it
was tasteful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's legendary. It's
yeah.
legendary.
Yeah.
Now, you guys posted a couple of pictures on your Facebook page. One of them is Scotty holding your book, holding the Les Paul book, a little more Les. Tell me how that picture was come upon.
Well, it was actually at a very sad occasion because it was 7 months ago.
It's about 7.5 months ago.
That Scotty's longtime companion, Gail Pollack, was not doing well at all, and she ultimately passed away. And our friend Keith Bilbrey from WSM was going over to see Scotty, and he said, "You know, I think Scotty would love to see a copy of your book and reading about that." That event in Nashville with Les Paul, that would probably pick them both up.
And seeing his picture in the book, too. And so Keith said, he called us from this coffee clutch that he had with Scotty at the house. And he said, guys, do you think you could send me another book? Because I can't get out of here without my book. Scotty's going to keep it. We said, well, yeah, as long as you'll get a picture of him holding the book. Well, Scotty's really good friends with Duane Eddy, who also lives in Nashville. And, of course, they've got a history that goes back to the 50s.
Right.
So Duane did the forward to our book. Scotty's holding up the book, pointing to the blurb on the front where it says Duane Eddy. Did the forward, and he's snarling because he said, "Keith, why did they ask him and not me?" And I thought, "Yeah, okay, that's pretty cool."
That's great. Now, speaking of your book, it's almost a year. You guys were in here late August to
yes, that's right.
Yeah,
and you guys have been really, really busy with A Little More Less, and I know you got a couple of more appearances coming up in August, on Saturday and Sunday, the 13th and 14th of August.
Right, right. Well,
yeah, we're going to be doing the Vintage Guitar Show in Grays Lake.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a music pop culture guitar show, so it's kind of for everyone that has any interest in any musical stuff. But we should back up and say that we're going to be on the radio on Monday.
Yes.
On the 4th of July.
I was saving that for last.
Oh, you were? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
that's okay.
So we're actually going to be doing those 2 days in Grays Lake, and then we're going to be up in Kenosha in September. And if there's, you know, a bar mitzvah, a baby shower, you can pop up.
We're easy.
Well,
breakfast 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations on the success of the book. It's a terrific book.
Thank you.
And again, if people want to get it, they can get it. It's called A Little More Less, a wonderful book with stories about Les Paul. Tell everybody how they can get it.
They can go to WGNradio.com/Les Paul Book.
Okay. All right. And again, you guys are going to be filling in on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That's this Monday, coming up Monday from 9 to noon right here. You guys will be in the Showcase studio downstairs. And it's always great to have you guys hosting. You looking forward to doing, because, you know, when you're on in the daylight, it's a little different.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, is it different?
But we suggest that you might want to buckle up, because we've got Jim Peterick and Ronnie Rice, who are going to be joining us live in the studio for a little bit of a jam.
Cool.
Hopefully Jim will wear his red, white, and blue hair.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that would be only appropriate.
Yeah, that'd be great. So that's the Monday, July 4th. Celebrate the 4th of July with Steve and Johnny back on the radio right here on WGN, 9 a.m. to noon. And everybody I know is gonna tune in. And if people want to keep up with you guys, it's stevenjohnny.com, correct?
Yep.
And you're on Facebook.
Yep,
StephenJohnny.com
links to all the other places we hang out on the internet.
Including how to purchase our book, too. So
yeah.
Don't forget it's Johnny with an I-E, J-O-H-N-N-I-E.
Yep.
That'll get you there. And
okay. Steve with a T.
And again, the Chicago Vintage Guitars, Vinyl Records Classic Drums and Rock and Roll Memorabilia Show and Sale. I think the title of that should be a little longer.
Yes.
In Grays Lake on Saturday and Sunday, August 13th and 14th, with a book signing appearance, and a little more less is still going. You know, I really thank you guys for coming on. It's a thrill. Again, the circumstances aren't pleasant,
yeah.
But I really did want to hear from you guys. I knew you guys would have insight and great stories about Scotty Moore. And we'll be listening. You know, every bump that we play this morning is going to be all Scotty Moore.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thank
cool.
you. So, thanks for calling us, too.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Always great to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate
take care,
it.
Okay, take care. The one and only Steve and Johnny. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next.